Hello all, this is Bill Arsenault, New Orleans freelance film critic, with my first Audioboo movie review recording. In what I hope will be a series of episodes, this is intended for movies I missed in theaters, didn't get to write about on time, or for classics I'm reminded of. Before we get started, I'd like to thank MoviesWithButter.com critic Sarah Viscarondo for suggesting I use a service like this. Now, the reviews. I don't read of too many comparisons to Once Upon a Time in America, probably because so few films are of that quality. Well, allow me to state a rarity. The Raid 2 is worthy of Once Upon a Time in America. In Gareth Evans' first film in the series, titled The Raid Redemption for the US release, his filmmaking style matched his story in one specific way, simplicity. Sure, it was all rather intense, but high emotion does not equal stylistic boldness. And he didn't have to be bold in this arena, just follow the textbook. For the sequel, which expanded the setting from one building to a whole city, he had to go big. With a bigger story, he delivers a film with more complexity. Cameras move with the atmosphere, much like in the Crank series. Slower scenes are framed in almost the style of Kubrick, moments of stillness are captured with Godfather angles, and the music and editing is an exact step with the fights. It might be the best musical to not be a traditional musical. Now, like the Sergio Leone classic I referenced, it is also epic in length. But never do you feel this. It could have easily crossed the line into self-indulgence with multiple characters and supplemental storylines, but all of this is at the service of the overall arc. Everything has purpose, everything feels important, and everything engages. Even a short detour in the story that looks at a dangerous and pathetic character feels right and memorable, like the Danny Aiello bit in Once Upon a Time in America. Killers that use guns, bats, and machetes, exploding heads, fights in the mud, this I compare to one of the greatest movies of all time? You bet. 5 out of 5 stars. In the documentary The Final Member, three men are profiled together and separately, both with a smirk and a tear. You see, these men have one thing commonly invested in an Icelandic museum, their penises. It all centers on a penis museum run by a man named Siggy. He is quite a well-rounded gentleman, with no perversion to be found near him. He has collected almost every specimen of penis from every animal on the planet, except one, the human specimen. If he cannot find a donor, he will give his own upon his death. However, there are two potential ones out there. These two men, Paul Arison, an elderly former adventurer and womanizer, and Tom Mitchell, a middle-aged American with big dreams. A sort of race ensues, with Paul close to death, and Tom willing to donate before his death. At the heart of this movie is man's wanting to establish a legacy and live on forever. Highlighted in this regard is Tom's plight, who goes so far as to tattoo the head of his member and makes designs for a comic book series. He sends emails to Siggy so often that Siggy himself begins to question this process. The filmmakers spend some time poking fun at the dilemma with strategically timed comedic edits, but never mock the men involved. In fact, we end up identifying with them. There's even a particularly heartbreaking moment when the finale comes. I could have filled this review with dick puns, but it would have overshadowed the girth and fortitude of the documentary. It's touching and just the right length. Trust me, you won't stroke out over this one. Okay, that was bad. 4 out of 5 stars. The Final Member plays in New Orleans at the Zeitgeist until Thursday, May 1st. For more information, visit zeitgeistinc.net. And I'd like to close things out with an answer to a question I had while sitting at my desk recently. Why did Spike Lee's Old Boy pale in comparison to the original? Well, this can be explained in a comparison of one scene. Beware, spoilers follow. It is in the most infamous sequence, where our main character unknowingly beds his own daughter, that the differences between the adaptations can be found. In the original, the camera is up close to the two during the act. I don't remember music playing during it or any other distractions. In Spike Lee's version, we see the moment through surveillance footage, faraway angles, and a tender, calming score playing. It's almost as if the filmmaker knows something we don't, is disturbed by it, and doesn't want to get his hands dirty. What made the original reveal more revolting and shocking was how the sex scene was played out, captured, and built up. The original director understood not only how to keep a secret through his techniques, but how to make the audience focus more on the characters and less on the surprise, which I believe was part of the advertising for the remake. But you can't blame it all on the admin. Sorry, Spike, you just weren't daring enough for the subject material. 5 out of 5 stars for the original, 2 out of 5 stars for the remake. Thank you very much for listening. If you have any suggestions or comments, feel free to leave them below this post or drop me a line on Twitter at NoRealIdea, that's NaUXReelIdea. If you liked this, feel free to visit patreon.com/NoRealIdea for more information on how you can support my efforts in film criticism. Thank you again. I was Bill Arsenault.